News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I am Pathikrit Sen Gupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. The HRD Ministry on Thursday ruled out the removal of JNU Vice Chancellor M. Jagdish Kumar amid demands from students and a section of teachers, saying sacking him is not the solution and the government's focus is to address the main issues that have cropped up on campus. Ministry officials, however, asserted that the formula decided during consultations with students and administration needs to be implemented. The varsity officials, including the Vice Chancellor, have been called at the ministry today over students' claims that the revised fees as decided during the ministry's intervention are not being implemented. HRD Ministry Secretary Amit Khare met a delegation of representatives from JNU Students' Union and Teachers' Association, where they put forward the demand of the VC's removal. Removing the VC is not the solution. The basic issue on which the whole problem has arisen needs to be addressed first. Changing X, Y, or Z is not as important as resolving the issues that have come up. The basic bone of contention needs to be resolved, Khare said. On the issue raised by students of their union not being officially notified by the university, he said the ministry's focus is on academic issues on campus and not political. We will talk to the university administration that the fees changes which were decided last month are implemented. We are working on resolving the issues and restoring normalcy. It is a prestigious university and should remain that way, Khare said. VC Kumar, however, denied claims that the formula arrived at the ministry is being fully implemented and there is no deviation from it. As far as the fee issue is concerned, there has been no deviation from the formula arrived at the HRD ministry last month. As decided, students are not being charged any services or utility fees, Kumar told PTI. We have also written to UGC to release funds for covering the utility and service charges as decided, he added. The HRD ministry had in November formed a three-member panel to mediate between the agitating students and administration and restore normalcy in the campus. According to the formula proposed by the ministry, the JNU administration would charge only the increased room rent and the service and utility charges were to be borne by the University Grants Commission. In return, the students would call off their agitation and engage in dialogue with the university administration. To compensate for the lost academic period, JNU was asked to extend the semester by 2 weeks. The university was also advised to notify the students' union and withdraw police complaints against students. The Supreme Court is scheduled to deliver today its verdict on a batch of pleas, including that of Congress leader Ghulam Nabi Azad, challenging the restrictions imposed in the erstwhile state of Jammu and Kashmir following abrogation of provisions of Article 370. A bench of Justices N.V. Ramana, R. Subhash Reddy and B.R. Gawai had reserved the judgment on November 27 last year. On November 21, the Centre had justified restrictions after the abrogation of provisions of Article 370 and said that due to the preventive steps taken, neither a single life was lost nor a single bullet fired. Besides Azad, the Apex Court had heard the petitions filed by Anuradha Bhasin, executive editor of Kashmir Times, and a few interveners questioning the restrictions. The centre had referred to terror violence in the Kashmir Valley and said that for the past many years, terrorists were being pushed through from across the border. Local militants and separatist organizations had held the civilians captive in the region, and it would have been foolish if the government would not have taken preventive steps to secure the lives of citizens. The provisions of Article 370, which gave special status to the erstwhile state, were abrogated in August last year. Evidence indicates it is highly likely that an Iranian anti-aircraft missile downed a Ukrainian jetliner near Tehran late Tuesday, US, Canadian and British officials said on Thursday. They said the strike, which killed all 176 people on board, could well have been a mistake amid missile launches and high tensions throughout the region. The crash came just a few hours after Iran launched a ballistic attack against Iraqi military bases housing U.S. troops amid a confrontation with Washington over the U.S. drone strike that killed an Iranian Revolutionary Guard general. 4 U.S. officials, speaking on the condition of anonymity to discuss sensitive intelligence, said they had no certain knowledge of Iranian intent and the airliner could have been mistaken for a threat. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, whose country lost at least 63 citizens in the downing, said in Toronto We have intelligence from multiple sources, including our allies and our own intelligence. The evidence indicates that the plane was shot down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson said, there is now a body of information that the flight was shot down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile. Earlier on Thursday, President Donald Trump suggested he believed Iran was responsible for the shoot-down and dismissed Iran's initial claim that it was a mechanical issue with the plane. Somebody could have made a mistake on the other side, Trump said, noting that the plane was flying in a pretty rough neighborhood. The US officials wouldn't say what intelligence they had that pointed to an Iranian missile, but they acknowledged the existence of satellites and other sensors in the region, as well as the likelihood of communication interceptions and other similar intelligence. It was not immediately clear how the US and its allies would react to the downing of the airliner, despite efforts by Washington and Tehran to step back from the brink of possible war. The region remained on edge after the killing of the Iranian general and Iran's retaliatory missile strikes. US troops were on high alert. And Britain's House of Commons on Thursday ratified Prime Minister Boris Johnson's withdrawal agreement by 330 votes to 231, clearing the way for Brexit to happen after years of delay on January 31. The European Union-United Kingdom Withdrawal Agreement Bill must still be passed by the unelected House of Lords and the European Parliament, which is seen as a formality, before Britain ends almost 50 years of membership in the European Integration Project. This allows Johnson to turn the page on one of Britain's deepest political crises in decades, putting an end to the fears of an immediate disorderly exit, which had cast a shadow over the economy and fueled divisions over the 2016 referendum decision to leave the EU. It is time to get Brexit done. This bill does so, Brexit Minister Stephen Barclay told lawmakers, summing up hours of debate in Parliament. The legislation now heads to Parliament's upper chamber and is expected to become law in the coming weeks, leaving enough time to allow Britain to leave at the end of the month with a deal to minimize economic disruption. In recent years, financial markets have been mesmerized by the twists and turns of Britain's Brexit drama, with its acrimonious negotiations in Brussels, knife-edge votes in Parliament, and heavy defeats for unstable governments. But after Johnson called a snap election late last year and then won a large majority by promising to deliver Brexit at the end of January, the uncertainty over when and how Britain will leave the EU has largely abated. The focus has instead turned to upcoming talks on long-term arrangements with the EU that will kick in when a transition period, during which Britain remains subject to EU rules, ends on December 31. Johnson is adamant that the free trade deal he wants can be negotiated in time, but his EU counterparts are less convinced. On Wednesday, Johnson met European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen in London, hours after she had made a speech saying it would be basically impossible to agree everything by the end of the year. Johnson's opponents, many of whom argued to stop Brexit or give the public another vote, say his approach risks creating another no-deal cliff edge at the end of the year when the transition period ends. However, von der Leyen has indicated that even if a whole deal cannot be negotiated in time, the most important and potentially disruptive parts can be prioritized. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.